Alan, you're very welcome to In Business. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Amber, and thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. Delighted to chat to you. So, Alan, I know you were a chartered engineer, but you decided to completely change course. I suppose to start off, just explain to us what prompted you maybe to make this career change in the first place.
Well, Amber, I was working in Iraq for the last number of years, initially in Basra in the south and then up in Kurdistan up north. And as you can imagine, it's a little bit risky up there. And with a wife and two kids at home worried about me, I decided to strike off out on my own, start up my own business here in Cork under the banner Republic of Oud, which is a perfumery, a boutique perfumery based in the Winthrop Arcade in Cork City.
Fantastic. That career move, as you said there, involved creating a perfume brand from scratch. How did that come about, or why did you decide maybe to go down this path when you decided you were going to make a change?
I've always had a love for fragrances and perfumes, particularly Arabic perfumes from the Middle East. So I would have spent the last 20 years in the region of the Middle East. I would have worked and lived in all of the countries. So Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Oman, Qatar, UAE. I would have been there for long periods of time and greatly influenced by the scent, a particular scent called Oud. So when you go to any shopping mall or any particular public area, you will smell Oud being burnt, or you'll smell it on the fragrance, on the clothes of the people. You'll smell it in all the public spaces, and it's a very captivating scent. So I really had a real love for this scent, and I used to bring home the perfumes when I travelled back to Ireland. And then it became a matter of gifting and giving it to people and looking at the surprise at this particular scent called Oud. And then I always knew there was a business in it. It was just a matter of time and take the risk and dip my toes into this venture.
Yeah, fair play to you. For someone maybe that doesn't know, I suppose, what you're talking about when you mention Oud as a scent, can you kind of describe it for us? I know that might be a bit difficult, but in your best efforts, I suppose, just to give us a flavour of what it might be like.
Well, Oud is the most prized ingredient in perfumery. It can range anywhere from 30,000 up to 50,000, 60,000 per kilo. So you can imagine the expense of Oud. Oud itself is a resin which is derived from the agarwood tree, or in Latin terms, it's the Aquilaria, of which there's more than 22 species. So what happens is, in the wild, the agarwood tree will get wounded or infected, maybe by a lightning strike or an infection or bugs or animals. And as part of that wound, it produces a resin as a defense and a coping mechanism. And it's a fungus that's produced inside in the heartwood of the tree. And over time, that hardens and that's fragrant. And that's where you get the Oud from. So after a number of years, up to 7, 8, 9, 10 years, the tree then will be ready to be felled. And the tree then is wood chipped. And the Oud wood chips are distilled, the same as you distill a whiskey, steam distillation. And what you get out the other end then is the oil, which is the Oud oil. Now, the yield is very, very low. So this only occurs naturally in nature in 2% of the wild population. And you need 1,000 kilograms of wood chips to achieve 1 litre of oil at the other end. So not only is it rare, the yield is so small, and that's what makes it very prized and very expensive in the world of perfumery.
Okay, that's really interesting. I wasn't aware of that, and that's where it came from either. So that's really interesting to hear. And Alan, I know as well, speaking of the Oud, you became the first person to legally import it into Ireland as well. So that's very interesting. Talk us through maybe the steps that involved to make that happen.
Well, that's right. Like, Oud is endangered in the wild because of the value, the high value that is placed on the wood, and because of its rarity. So there's a lot of poaching, and you know, this is obviously illegal. So what you have are sustainable Oud plantations now, supported by the regions where the Oud grows. So Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam, Philippines, and supported by the timber boards of those countries. So the administrative authority here in Ireland will be the National Parks and Wildlife, and they're responsible for issuing the import permit. So if you wanted to import Oud into Ireland, you would approach the National Wildlife Parks and you would request an import permit, because Oud falls under CITES, which is the control of endangered species. So that covers everything from wood to animals. So, for example, corals and things like that, wood falls under the same rigorous standards for import export. So you actually need a permit from the producing country to export the wood, and you need a second permit from the importing country, which in my case is Ireland, to import the permit. So there's a two check process that you have both permits before you actually import the wood. And not only that, you have to satisfy the National Parks and Wildlife here that it's not poached wood. So they'll want to know what plantation it's coming from, what species of Aquilaria or Arguwood tree, what's the rootstock of the tree, what was the method of inoculation of the tree, and talk to the producer as well to make sure that the producer of that wood is actually registered with the timber board of the producing country. So there's a lot of checks and balances in that process to make sure that the wood is legally imported.
Okay, that's really interesting. And Alan, some people might look at moving career maybe or changing to a completely different career as a big risk to take. Now, I know obviously your background as well, you probably are quite familiar with risks yourself, but did you feel it was a risk to make this career move, or did you feel your background maybe stood you a little bit when you were considering it?
I would describe it as a healthy risk appetite, Amber. So having worked in Iraq and put on a bulletproof vest for the last number of years and gone out into the desert with armored cars and things like that, setting up a perfumery is, in my opinion, less risky. I mean, when you're looking at perfumery is a process the same as, making electricity, which I've worked in power plants is a process, or oil and gas is a process. So I see this as a process. And, understanding the engineering side of it, the technical aspects of it, as well as the creative side of it, it's a match made in heaven for me that I get to explore both the technical and the creative side of perfumery.
Yeah, it sounds like you really enjoy it. How has business been going for you so far, Alan?
It's been very good, Amber. It's been very well received. Cork needs something new, and especially in the realm of perfumery, and people are very interested to see new businesses pop up, first of all, but secondly, in the type of business that we've set up. So, like if you were to come into the Winthrop Arcade now in Cork, we have a viewing room where you can come in, and we'll bring the perfumes to you, and we'll ask a number of questions and try and understand what you're looking for. So maybe you're looking for something with oud in it, or something without oud, something with jasmine or Lily of the Valley or rose, and then we'll try and match the perfume to your expectation. Now, we don't create the perfumes ourselves, we're an importer, but we have a number of perfumes from France, from Greece, we stock brands from Dubai as well as Saudi Arabia. So it's really a tailored approach where the customer is front and center of that experience, and we try and give the customer the best experience and take their time, and they can really get to know the perfumes and ask questions, because we're also a member of the Fragrance Foundation in the UK. So they provide a lot of support and training and how to deliver the best customer experience for our customers here with us in Cork.
Fantastic. It sounds brilliant. And it sounds like a lovely experience for the customer as well, which I can imagine probably is a very special part of the business as well, because it's nice to involve them, I suppose, and to make sure you're getting the closest thing to what they're looking for as well, the closest scent or the closest perfume to what they're hoping to get, which is a lovely experience.
That's right. Like perfume is very personal for people, so it brings back memories. It's very closely linked to memory and certain experiences, especially from childhood. So perfume has that kind of a feel-good factor, and people want to experience that, or they want to experience something that will make them feel more confident, or something maybe with a citrusy scent which will make them feel more energetic, or they're looking for a nighttime scent, or something for a special occasion, their wedding, or other special occasions, So perfumery can solve a lot of issues and serve many purposes. It's a very special industry, and it's very unique, I think, as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, it sounds like it's going very well for you, Alan, and a continued success. But thank you so much for joining me to talk us through it this evening. It's been lovely to chat to you on the show.
It's been a pleasure, Amber, and thank you very much for having me.